1 to 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Linda. A prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you look in your Bibles, you'll see that the passage from the book of Revelation that Linda has just read comes just two pages from the end, page 1249 of 1251 pages. If you've ever wondered where everything is headed, then this is it. What we see here is God's purpose for all creation: a new heaven and a new earth. In the new earth, which God himself will create, the sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. Now, this is a favourite passage from the Bible, and yet it's also a very challenging passage. It's full of hope and encouragement, and yet it is a future hope that sometimes seems too far away. Now, the Christian view is that creation is heading somewhere. We don't believe that everything goes round and round in a circle with no beginning or end. We believe that it began at a particular point, namely the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we believe that it is heading to a particular point, namely the new heaven and the new earth. If you look in your Bible, you'll see that page 3 tells how God created the universe. Interestingly, pages 1 and 2 are virtually blank. We aren't told what happened before the beginning. That knowledge isn't necessary for us to know. All that we need to know is that God created everything. And everything else is based on that. Everything owes its existence to God, and therefore everything owes allegiance to God. Page 4 then tells us how God created people in his image to represent him as stewards of the earth. And for about half a page, everything goes well. But then on page 5, people disobey God. They decide that they don't need God to tell them what is right and what is wrong. They can decide that for themselves. And because of that disobedience, that close relationship with God is broken. And through the fracture of that relationship, suffering and death come into the world. Our rejection of God and our insistence that we know better than God is the cause of so much suffering down through history. Now, people will glibly tell you that religion is the cause of all the wars. Now, religion may be guilty of some wars, but mostly it is greed that causes war. One people covets what another people have. And if you look at the worst death mongers of the 20th century, they were all godless men. Now, God knew that all of this would happen. It's not as if plan A went pear-shaped, and so God had to think up a plan B to put it all right. The Bible doesn't tell us that God created everything perfect. It tells us that he created it very good. He gave creation the ability to improve, but he also gave us the capacity to get worse. Why would he do that? I believe he did that because God wants people to be free. He didn't create us as mindless, slavish robots. He wants us to love him of our own free will. The rest of the Bible, page 6 to page 1248, is the story of how God works to restore that relationship with us. Through the choosing of Abraham and the founding of the Hebrew nation, from which came the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus, who came as a human being to restore what human beings had thrown away, namely close, perfect relationship with God, not only for all peoples, but for all of creation. So 99.5% of the Bible is the story of a faithful and loving God who tirelessly pursues us because he loves us, even though we might constantly reject him. The overwhelming image of God given in the Bible is of a father who loves us as his children and wants the very best for us. Sadly, we know that we cannot control our children. We give them the best help and the best advice that we can, but in the end, they make their own choices. But good or bad, we will always be there for them. Now, we are like that because we have been made in God's image. And God lets us make our own choices. He gives us the best start. He gives us the best advice. And he longs for us to choose him. But he loves us enough to allow us to reject him. It hurts like hell, doesn't it, if our children make bad choices? If those choices cause them pain, or if they walk away from us. Imagine the pain that God feels, seeing the suffering of so many people down the centuries, being rejected by so many people that he has lovingly created. The Bible tells us that God loves the world so much, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that all who believe in him shall not die but have everlasting life. This is the promise that faith in Jesus holds out to every person: eternal life and a perfect life in a renewed and perfect world where all sadness, all pain, all sorrow and death are gone forever. All of the brokenness that we see in the world around us will be no more. No more violence or sickness, no failing bodies or minds, no fear or anxiety, no poverty, no war, no exploitation, no oppression. The relationship within the natural world will be healed. The relationships between people will be healed. The relationship between people and the natural world will be healed. And the relationship between God and all that he has made will be healed. This is the hope that Christian faith holds out for the world. But meanwhile, as God's people, we are to watch and wait for that time to come. which isn't easy, is it? When we look around us at the world and we see the mess everything is in. Or even if we look at our own lives and wonder why, when we have placed our trust in Jesus, why everything has gone wrong. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? How long shall the wicked triumph? And that's when we need to remind ourselves of why we believe. And we return to our Bibles and we read and mark in Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God. From the first days of our disobedience unto the glorious redemption brought us by a holy child. In heart and mind, we go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass. And with the angels, the shepherds, and the magi, we adore the child lying in his mother's arms. And we join the crowds on the shores of Galilee to see him and hear him, and even try to reach out and touch him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then we walk with him to Jerusalem and to Calvary. And we watch in horror as he is killed by those he has come to die for. And then we share in the joy of his disciples at the empty tomb. And then the story of the growth of the church around the world. And the continuing story over the past 2,000 years. Billions of people whose lives have been changed forever, saved out of loneliness, of fear, anxiety, addiction, brutality, hopelessness. Our eyes raised from the mire of the world to the majesty of heaven. Then something in our heart stirs and we cry, yes, this is why I believe. It's not just about me. It's bigger than me. It's about everybody and everything. Maybe, though, Christmas is hard for you. Maybe it has too many sad memories. Maybe the busyness of Christmas might just be the last straw. Maybe having to pretend to be merry and bright is the last thing that you want to do. To you, Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So as we go into this last week before Christmas, as things get busier and busier, may you find time to spend with Jesus. May you know the peace and gentleness of Jesus. May you feel the love and acceptance of Jesus. And may you find rest for your souls. Amen.
Let us stand to declare our faith. Let us declare our faith in God. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all life, all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? We believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll stay standing now and we'll sing our next song, which is number one in Wargrave Praise. Number one, All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord, after which Andy will lead us in our prayers and intercessions.
Please sit or kneel as we pray for the church and for the world.